Welcome back to Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Philip and Nick. Today, we're kind of wanting to go into, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and not, as we kind of, you know, go along, you'll hear us talk about an empty box there, and that's kind of something that me and Nick share. It's kind of an inside joke of ours. But a verse I'd like to start off with to kind of go into this is in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, if you'd like to turn with us, pause the podcast, do what you need to do. But it reads, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So, you know, when you're feeling empty, when you don't know what you want, the Lord is there for you, and he'll intercede for you, and he'll speak for you, and put things in your mind that are only going to help you. I think Nick has a little bit more to expand on this and further scripture to give.
I think the part of that verse that resonates with me really is when it says, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Sometimes I feel like I know that I need to trust God, but it's almost like I don't know what to ask for. And I feel like in today's time, really, we get so caught up in the idea that praying is us asking for things. And sometimes right here is what it's saying is we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes. So if you have faith that the Spirit is going to guide you to where you need to be, even though we don't know where we're going, following verses Romans 8:28, two verses down, and it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So if you have began to walk in your purpose of your calling, and there's going to be the ups and downs. There's going to be the times of confusion, and there's going to be the times of certainty. There's going to be those some of those days where you're just like, man, I'm really feeling called to this, or I'm feeling called towards this. And there's going to be other days, me specifically, I got over COVID this past week, and I wasn't in church, and we didn't get to do the podcast last week. And I felt like I just kind of felt a little distance from everything. And when I was praying for it, I was kind of going blank in my prayers, almost not knowing what to ask for or what to say. But that's when I just remembered, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants you to open your mind and crack that hard head open and just allow him to come in, even when you don't know why. You just want his presence. And that's all he wants. He doesn't want your perfection, and he doesn't want your perfectly scripted prayers. He just wants you to humble yourself and say, here I am, Father. Me. And that's what he gives us the Spirit for. And that's why it says, but the Spirit himself. So the Spirit is the guiding aspect of our life that's going to take us to the place that we don't know where it is. And that's all just part of last week's topic of trusting in the Lord's plan, even when we can't see or we don't understand what's actually happening in the moment.
Yeah, I think something that could actually really help in this instance, when people tell you to talk to God, literally talk to him. Just talk to him. If you have something going on, be like, Lord, I have COVID. I'm tired. I don't know what to do today. Like,
exactly.
You know, if something's just going on, just tell him about it. And I think that can help you just kind of work through, you know, what you're going through, and he'll be able to put things in your mind. And like Nick said, you crack that mind open and he'll put things in there. I mean, yeah. He'll guide you in different ways that you just have no idea.
That's just like that, back to that fatherly relationship. It's not, you know, this isn't us going up to the Pope and trying to talk to the Pope to get anything. You know, this is us going to our dad who has seen us in our best and our worst. When I think like about that specifically, you think of Moses, and when Moses was commanded by God to go lead the people out of Israel, and he didn't think that was something he was able to do based on his past, but you know, he trusted in God's plan. The Spirit himself then spoke through Moses, was what able to lead, you know, God's children out of slavery, which is what, like, theoretically is what Christ does for us. Is he comes into us, and then he sets us free from the slavery of the things of this world and our bondage and depression and all of our transgressions. So it's really something to be grateful for and to give glory for. And that's why we're kind of here. We want to tell you about what he really has done for us. And, you know, the coolest part about it is that he can do the exact same thing for you. And it's not a one and done type thing. You know, he prunes to the limbs as you go, and you feel like you're getting things figured out. And just as soon as you think you're getting figured out, he uproots the next little issue out of you. And that's just this purification process. And that's the beauty in it. It's the struggle, and it's the progression you're making, you know.
I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about last week with the baby steps, you know, and by talking to God and kind of getting through all those little, like, those little problems that you have, and him guiding you out of those problems and out of those transgressions and out of the darkness, he's leading you out of the slavery of this world that we live in. By continuing to take those steps, you can eventually go into the light and see his way, and you become a more well-rounded person, a better person, and able to live more in his light, for sure. And, you know, kind of like what we talked about too, this ultimately leads to joy. It may sound like the worst things in the world. If you're, you know, addicted to substances that make you temporarily happy, you might think that without those substances, you can't be happy. And that is completely untrue. And in fact, actually, you won't be happy. You'll be full of so much joy that happiness no longer exists, if that makes sense. It's beyond happiness. It's something that you just cannot fathom until you've experienced it for yourself. And I know Nick himself has probably experienced this to a completely different degree than I've had the pleasure to. But joy is something that we truly seek through God and through Jesus. And he leads us there and leads us out of slavery, similar to how Moses led the people out.
And when he says that, being filled with the joy, we were just reading through, so we're both actually reading through John right now, or towards the end of it, and it makes me think of when he's talking to the woman at the well, and she's asking him the questions of how are you going to get water? You didn't even come here with anything to get water out of this deep well. And Jesus answered, said that that's not the water he drinks of, and he says that everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So it's like when we begin to drink, you know, the water that he gives us, not only are we going to be satisfied, but then it turns into a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And when you have, you know, a spring of eternal water overflowing of you, it starts to come out of your tongue. It starts to come out of your ears almost, you know. Yeah. It's pouring out of your nose. It's not something you can fake, you know. When this is the coolest thing about this, It's promised to everybody, you know, and a lot of people hear about this and they're like, what is he doing? What's in that guy that, you know, he just seems happy almost every day. You can hear complaints, but it's like there's something in him that's a little bit different. And that's all I have to tell you is that's exactly what it is. It's kind of like having like a colander, you know, that you would drain your noodles in. And that's us, you know. We keep trying to pour water into our colander to try to fill us up and make us happy. But in reality, you know, happiness or joy is the full bathtub under the colander that you just dump the colander under. And that's Jesus, and that's Jesus' love, is we just have to stay in him and he stays in us. So by consistency of being in him, and even when we don't want to, even when we don't feel like it, that's when the discipline kicks in, you know, and that's why you also have to be disciplined. And so in your moments of not wanting to, if you can just dive into his word, you know, that's where you're going to be sharpened and farthering and building your relationship with him, as well as your knowledge on him, so you can share the word with others. And that would just be back to Ephesians 6:17 on the spirit of the sword of the spirit. I'm sorry. And that verse says that the sword of the spirit is the word of God. So the sword of the spirit is our offensive part of our armor of God. And by sharpening that, we're able to, one, fend off lies of the enemy and, you know, demonic forces, but we're also able than like the oppositions of non-believers. Because one thing is, if you're going to share the gospel with a non-believer or somebody of a different faith, they're going to have a lot of opposing questions. And unless you're armed, you're just going to get shot down. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that's something that most Christians have. If you've ever tried to share your faith, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People want to hit you with all the hard ones, you know? And
yeah, why does God allow this?
Exactly.
Or that?
And so that's why it's so important just to be in Him. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
We're in Him. He's in us. He's in us. The Spirit's in us. And the Spirit does the work for us.
Well, and it's something that me and Nick tried to touch on or started to touch on a little earlier. And then we realized we go into this conversation now, we won't have anything to talk about. But you really have to sit down and make the effort every single day just to sit down and read for 15 minutes or read this chapter, or I'm going to go into this book and read a couple of verses and truly try to learn the word and know the word and be able to apply it to the real world. If you see a verse that really speaks to you, look into it and figure out what the true meaning is behind it. And I think that has truly helped me as I've read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And by the way, I highly recommend anybody starting their journey to start there. Read Genesis first if you absolutely have to start from the beginning. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is truly where the journey begins. And it is a wonderful journey, and it's taught me a lot. And as I've gone through, I've found verses that I'm like, what does this mean? And when I have the time, I try to look them up. But there are some that truly, truly speak to me. And there's some that I've actually shared on this podcast before, like in the last couple of weeks. And like Nick said, you can go on the offensive, but you can also be on the defensive as well.
I think before you get into your designated Bible time, exactly what me and him just did before we started this podcast, we just pray. We say, hey, God, we're here for you. We just pray that you would numb away all these other, you know, voices and thoughts in our head that are going on of all the other things we have going on that's going to try to distract us and get us off our thinking rock, you know. So with that being said, pray before you get into the Bible, you know. Pray and just ask that your heart would be open, your eyes would be enlightened, and that you would receive a new revelation to transform your walk in with Christ. And so we're both, he's a little farther back into John, and I was in John 3 today. I opened up my Bible, and one thing I was just telling him is I was like, I'm kind of an extremist, so I'm like, you know what? I want to read my Bible for an hour a day. How many times does that happen? Probably 2 times a week. So I just was like, okay, I'm going to make a more realistic goal. I'm going to do 15 minutes a day. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you sit down and read for 15 minutes a day, you can almost never stay within 15 minutes. You're always going to go over just a little bit. And that's kind of the point of it. But I sat down today. I was in John 3. And yesterday. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing my 15-minute plan every single day. I flip over my watch and I said, see what time it is to start what I'm going to base this off of. And it was 3:16. I took a picture of this and I'm going to post it on Instagram because I know you aren't going to believe me. But it was 3:16 as I was sitting down to read John 3, and it was a moment I had my jaw on the ground. I'm telling you, and exactly like what Tim Tebow says, John 3:16 is just that verse pretty much sums it all up. You know what I mean?
100%.
You know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. You know, it's a pretty straightforward verse. If you were walking by someone on the sidewalk, you know, and you had 5 seconds to tell them what they needed to do, you know, and or what is it all about, you know, it'd be John 3:16. So that was just a beautiful moment. And
when you want to talk about having everlasting life, as we've mentioned joy, but there's a lot more life to be lived than partying every day going and seeking out these women who aren't going to bring you happiness or aren't going to bring you joy. It's at the end of the day, it's just emptiness. It's kind of an empty void and an empty box. Like I had said earlier, to kind of give more reference to this, we have my buddy, Nick had given me, this is what probably been a couple years or about a year or two ago now, an empty box that literally just said, empty box on it.
It was fully taped up. Like it was out of a massive box. We were putting a couch together and there was like boxes of parts, and it was a fully taped up box with a perfect print on the side that said empty box. And I just gifted it to him. I thought it was funny.
And for whatever reason, I've never been able to throw it away. Every single time I've seen it, I've tried to get it out of my way. I can't do it. And it came to me the other day. I was like sitting at my desk at work, and I'm like, don't be an empty box. Fill yourself with something, you know, don't. And if you're going to fill yourself with anything, fill yourself with the Lord, fill yourself with the Spirit, and get into His Word and talk about it and really learn it and know it. And I love that we're able to sit down every week and talk about it on the microphones and send it out to people who can listen to it and maybe get a little bit more information for themselves or for, you know, from themselves and, or right. for themselves. Sorry.
Yeah. I feel like, and when he's talking about just filling yourself, you know, with God and filling with His Word, it's the reason that I almost can always at least eventually come back around to it. I know it's kind of a lot, but the reason that I always come back around to it is because I know it's what's good for me. And no matter what your emotions think, and because my emotions are up and down all day, I'm telling you, I can think some crazy stuff and then like, couple seconds after, be like, yo, what was that, dog? Like, what was that? You know what I'm saying? But if you build your foundation on Him, it's something that never goes away. And if you're building your life on the things of this world, and, you know, that being your trust fund or that being your relationships or the things that you own, you know, that it's one day and that's all gone. Or you could live your whole entire life and you get to the end and you gain the whole entire world just to realize you lost your soul. So I think that's a big eye opener. You know, that was a big eye opener for me. What is a man to gain the world and lose his soul? So it's kind of changed my whole direction of what I really wanted to focus on. And I'll say in my 22 years of living, any and everything I've ever accomplished has all went away. So I had like made a bunch of, in my early business days, I made a bunch of good calls and I had made a bunch of money, and it was the most money I'd ever made at such a young age. And then within a year, it was all gone. And I remember in that moment thinking I was on top of the world, and I just like, as the months went by, it all trickled out. Next thing you know, it was gone. I was dead broke. I was even broker than I was before. And I was thinking, man, that was the least satisfying thing I'd ever done in my whole entire life.
Yeah.
But in my 1 year serious walk with the Spirit since last July has been compound interest of every little investment that I put into my, you know, my Christ account, I guess you want to say. Yeah,
into your walk. And
you know, every little step, it all adds up and it doesn't go away. That's the thing, is it's the farther you keep going up this stair, there's not going back.
No.
You know, there's no turning back.
And it's almost like it's not even a stair. It's an escalator.
Yeah.
You think about it. It's only going up.
Amen. Because even when you think that you're not going anywhere,
you're still going somewhere.
Christ is carrying the cross for you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. That was Kobe that said that in an interview. And he's like, why is God good? The interview's asking Kobe, why is God good? And he's like, was it that moment that made you realize He was good? And Kobe was like, you can say God is good all you want, but until you got to pick up that cross that you can't carry, and He carries you and the cross, then you'll know.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, and I mentioned it in our first, the first episode we did, but people will tell you that God will never put more on you than you can handle. That is absolutely wrong. Like, God will load you up with stuff that you can't handle. He'd be like, here's this and this and this. And all He wants you to do is lean into Him. Talk to Him. Be like, Jesus, help me, please. I need it. And that's what God wants.
I mean, do you think when David stood in front of Goliath with a rock and a sling, do you think David was like, oh yeah, God gave this to me because He knows I can handle this?
Yeah, no.
No, he knew David couldn't handle it, but he knew that David had the faith in God that was able to move that mountain, and it happened, you know what I mean? And it was by his faith that it was to happen.
And one of my favorite verses there that's in Matthew is, you know, that through your faith, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can ask a mountain to move and it will move. And I'm paraphrasing, this is a direct quote. And these things can be done. And it goes on to say these things can be only be done through fasting and prayer. I think we can look at that as saying that through fasting, you're giving up something to put your to put more faith in the Lord and to say, I'm only focusing on you. Whatever it may be, you don't have to fast from food. You can fast from social media. You can fast from television. You can fast from, you know, pornography, drugs, whatever it may be. And you put yourself into prayer and you talk to the Lord and you continue on that journey for, say, 24, 48, 72 hours, however long you feel like you need to do this for. And you can move mountains. You can do anything.
Oh, absolutely. That's and exactly what he said is there's a reason that fasting got taken out of the modern Bible. And it's because there is actual heavenly, you know, so for every natural action that you take, there is a heavenly reaction. So by naturally, you are supposed to be eating food. If you mentally say, you know what, I'm going to choose, I have the faith that if I choose him over my flesh, that something can happen. And it's not even that, like, you know, this is going to happen. It's just, I'm telling you, faith, man. Having faith in something that you can't physically see, but you feel it, is so powerful. And so I did earlier this summer, I did a 3-day fast, right? And it was, I was
so difficult.
I was just getting into it. And I remember the first day I was just kind of, you know, kind of thugging it out, but kind of also complaining to people. And I was trying not to complain too loud. And I opened my Bible and it was the craziest thing. Literally flipped straight to the chapter. I can't remember even which book it was about fasting. And it talks about how when you fast, don't be like the others and don't talk about it, you know, yeah. And make sure that's something between you and God, because you're telling people about it, their reaction is going to be your reward.
Yep.
So if they give you a crazy reaction, congratulations, you just got your reward. But if you can humble yourself and just keep going and remember the reason you started it, then something is going to change. And that's the hard part about humans, is if we don't know what's going to change, sometimes we feel like it's not worth it. Because that 3-day fast, I remember the end of it, you know, I thought everything was just going to be so much better. I thought I was going to do this 3-day fast and I thought I was going to come out of it a saint. Literally. I was like, you know what? I'm done with everything, man. I'm perfect. Like, that's how I felt. And then, you know what? It was that probably 2 days after that fast was probably one of the biggest spiritual attacks I'd ever had in my whole entire life.
Oh yeah.
And it was because it was, and the craziest thing is it was like, this is when seeing became believing for me, because it was like, yo, I can't even make this stuff up anymore. I just fasted for 3 days because I want to get closer to God. And then the next couple of days after I resume my regular schedule, all these intense things were happening to me, to where I was like, yo, where is this coming from? It was because I was breaking chains. That's what was happening, was I was stepping away. I was stepping out of my old life and out of my old skin. And I was starting to step into, you know, the light. And the thing is, Satan knew when I stepped into the light, other people were going to follow me. Other people were going to see, you know, if this guy's changing, oh gosh, you know, if you know, this religion or this, you know, for people that are non-believers, if they can see that someone like me were changed by something that I can't physically see, that sparks some kind of question in them to what, you know, what's actually going on in there?
What changed, you know, what's in there? And I do want to go back a little bit and mention how you talked about not talking about your fast. I am horrible about that. That is my worst, because I'm a foodie. I like, if people who know me in person, I'm a big guy. Like, I love food. And so if I'm not eating, people are like, what's your problem? Like, what's going on? You know? Yeah. So it's something I struggle with real bad, because for whatever reason, I like to feed off those reactions. Like, wow, you're doing that. It's cool. You know? And you shouldn't, you really shouldn't. And I try not to do it for those reasons. And I try to focus more on the prayer side of things. And, it's just a journey that I have to go on.
Yeah. And I that was one thing I too also battled with during that kind of period, is people were asking me, because I was still doing regular things, and people would ask me, like, why aren't you eating? And I would be like, I can't tell you. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay. And then I talked about this with my disciple group, and the leader, he's like, if it's part of your testimony, you don't hold it back. If it's something that can change somebody and show your love, you know, because ultimately we're called to be a witness. So by me telling you, hey, I'm going to give up food for 3 days because I believe that it's going to bring me closer to God, that is me being a witness to you of what God is doing in me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can't, don't abolish that. But as soon as, you know, you're starting to feed off the reactions, and that's like, that's when it's, you know, that's where the line is. Because I, and that also relates back to the, you know, doing good acts, you know, giving to homeless people. If you're going to post a TikTok about it, boom, there's your reward, you know? But like, that's something too that with my group and, you know, other Christian brothers, I would do it. And then I would get to this point where I almost didn't want to give to homeless people because I felt like I was doing it for the wrong reason.
Like you were just doing it just to feel good, to feel like you are a better person.
Yeah, it was this crazy like counter psychology thing where I was like, I don't want to give to homeless people because I don't want people to think. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it. Oh, I completely get it.
But that's, I'm telling you that we have a deceiver that is very skilled. We have a lying enemy that, you know, if he can't get you on one side, he's going to flip it all the way around onto the other. And that's why we, you know, that's why we're here. And that's why we're in the Word right now, is we're standing firm on, you know, the truth. And we're here to preach the truth and allow others to follow it.
Yeah, fasting is just such a, to me, fasting is such a great topic, though. Because it is something that no matter what your crutch may be, and like I said, mine is food, 100%. So to step away from something like that, that not only you need, but also it's something that like people crave over and over and over again, to be able to step away from that and put your faith 100% in the Lord and to give yourself unto Him, the most amazing feeling in the world. But it's like Nick said, you're going to be tested after the fact. As soon as you start stepping into that light, something's coming after you. Like it is over and over again. Like in the middle of the fast, I'll be like, man, some cream pies would go good right now. Some zebra cakes, you know?
Yeah.
But then you also get, I get bad mood swings. My sugar might get low. So I'm like just on edge the whole day. Like the whole thing, like the whole shooting match. But then even after the fact, you eat. You know, you finally start eating again, you know, 72 hours is up. There's other things that might get you. There might be, you know, just out of nowhere, something will happen. You know, somebody will attack your bank account or your account will get hacked on something or somebody will tell you something that maybe you didn't quite like, you know. At the end of the day, the devil's out to get you no matter what you do.
Yeah, I think that in Luke, when it talks about when you kick out the demon, beware when you kick the demon out because seven comes back.
Right.
When you kick one demon, seven comes back. And that, when you hear that, it almost sounds kind of overwhelming. It's like, woo, we kicked it. And then, boom, you get wrecked by seven demons. And now you're questioning, like, I can't handle this. But that's what the book of Ephesians is for, is it tells us, yes, you can.
Yep.
This battle's already been won. Listen. Put on your helmet. Put on your breastplate. Grab your sword. Lace up your boots. You got this. If I'm for you, then no one can be against you. And when you keep winning those small wins, you're going to notice in your early walk, there's going to be big ups and there's going to be big downs. And then there's going to be, you know, your day is going to look like stock markets. But the one thing you're going to notice is over time, marginally, your errors are going to be less. And the more that you stay focused on Him, the more you're going to almost forget to sin. And that's the crazy thing. And when the devil can finally understand that you are fully suited in the armor, and the thing is he stops shooting all the flaming arrows at you. I mean, obviously it's not going to be a cakewalk for the rest of your life, but when you're in that time of change, especially in your early walk, that is the hardest position. I would say that is spiritually probably one of the hardest positions to be in as a human being, because now you're starting to understand that what you were doing is wrong. So now the devil sees that you're leaving and he's like, uh-oh. And then you start believing the truth and you're starting to grow towards God, but you're not fully equipped enough to know how to fully fend off all the arrows. So that's when the devil is just going to be nicking at your heel.
Right.
And then as soon as he sees, the thing is the devil can't read your mind, but he knows your patterns.
He knows your actions.
He knows your actions. And one thing you'll notice is you'll start having crazy dreams. Maybe it's just me.
Oh, no,
maybe
it's
just me. But when I started really changing who I am, I started having some crazy dreams about who I was. And the thing is you realize God allows the devil to do things in your dream to give you a heads up. And the thing is it's always true. It's always true. When these crazy things are happening in your dream, you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that, you know. And then you wake up and boom, guess what? You just chose God. You just took that one step of faithfulness. And you keep going and you keep going. And then you start feeling these things that used to have such a grasp on you, you start feeling way different about them. And it's literally a change of heart. Like, it's not that you're like building up your resistance to it, that you're like, okay, now I'm even stronger to resist this. It's like, you know, that doesn't even have the effect on me that it used to. You know, Jesus is filling in all those holes that I thought that was filling in.
Yep.
You know, and so that's why it's just so important to be plugged into him always.
Exactly. Well, and I'm glad you brought up Ephesians again, because I actually have a verse that goes perfectly along with what you just said. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, if you'd like to flip there with us and read. But it reads this: "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So I think another way you can read that and another way you can look into that is don't fill yourself with sin. Don't fill your things with the worldly things that we have here on earth. Instead, fill yourself with the Lord. Fill yourself with Jesus. Fill yourself with the Spirit. Go into the Word and fill your mind and your heart with those things, because that is going to be that's going to lead you to a way better life than any wine or drug or sex or any other distraction could get you.
And I think that just kind of goes back to anything worth having is not going to come easy. So yes, getting drunk is going to feel good, or yes, doing this substance or partaking in this action may feel good for a second, but there's going to be that back end cost. You know, it's kind of like running through McDonald's. That was really good. Now you feel like crap for the rest of the day. Or you can go to Publix. You can get you some nice fresh foods. You can cook them. Yes, you're going to have to clean. Yes, you're going to have to actually cook it. But then you're going to feel good afterwards. And that's kind of like the same thing as, you know, making these small decisions. You know what? I'm not going to go to the bar tonight. You know, and that sounds like a hard decision to make in the moment, because you're like, well, if I go to the bar tonight, I'm going to get drunk and I might feel happy for a second. If I don't go to the bar tonight, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to be bored. And that's how our humanly minds work. And it makes you be like, oh, well, duh, I'm going to choose the first option. But when you can understand the discipline of that second option being you investing into one day becoming this greater version of yourself, that's truly investing into yourself. And that's like the greatest form of self-love. And he is our greatest aid in that. Because a lot of times we feel like we get caught up in these traps to where we can't get away, these chains, you know. Addiction is rampant through our generation, you know, and whether that be a vape, whether that be weed, scrolling on TikTok, eating, gossiping, you know, these are all things. It's like you can't go anywhere or do anything without seeing this anymore.
You're 100% right. I mean, it's real bad when you get online and you see these people who you can tell that all they do is spend their time just scrolling through, sharing this or that. And it's never anything good. It's always some person falling off a skateboard, or somebody might have gotten hit by a car and they thought it was funny the way they, you know, tumbled over. And it's just sad, you know, that we live in a world like that. But we're hoping that maybe by guiding people to God and through to Jesus, we can get more people to see get away from those things and to not be addicted to their phones, to not be addicted to you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever your vice may be. And understand we're not trying to target anybody. If anything, we're trying to help whoever may be out there that that needs to hear this. God is there for you. God is there. You know, he is a very loving God. He's a jealous God, but he's a very loving God at the same time. And by going to him and filling yourself with his word, you're living by living through him, you will have a more full life and a better life than anything. And it'll never be temporary. It'll always be permanent.
Yeah. And I think with what he just said, he is that permanent joy for us. It's so hard to explain this to people that don't know it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. It's
hard to put it into words. And that's why Jesus, when he spoke to people that didn't know, he spoke to them in parables. You know, he would say, you know, he would relate it to just everyday things. And that's, I feel like I just get so overwhelmed with what's coming out of me that it just all comes out as mamma jamma. Yeah. And if I could just put it into like a little two line, boop, boop. I think the less might be more in that situation.
Yeah. Well, I think we can go back to the prodigal son story. You know, the son that left the home and came back, and his father isn't mad at him. He's happy he came back. He's happy that he's in his home again. He's happy that he's with his son again. And that's what God wants us. You know, there's a lot of us that may have left his house. There's a lot of us who may have never been in his house before. But if you go to his house, he's going to be happy to have you. And overly happy to the point where he's going to spoil you and he's going to bless you with more things than you would never understand until you get into it.
Yep. And it's not always what we thought we wanted.
Oh yeah, no.
You know, and you know what? Actually, I take that back. It's never what we thought we wanted. But I think that's the most beautiful part. And I was talking with someone the other day, and this was someone, you know, I was kind of working with, you know, I'm trying to work on their faith with them. And they were telling me about, you know, that they believe that like a psychic can actually tell you your future. And like, you know what? I honestly don't think I would want to know my future. And not that I think it's going to be bad, even if it were to be good. But don't you think that's kind of the beauty in it, is not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow?
Like, oh, yeah. Like letting God's plan play out for itself and never just expecting things to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like if you knew, kind of like what you said about my phone call that I had where I got my job, had I known I was going to get a phone call in a couple of weeks,
yep,
I wouldn't have worried about nothing.
Exactly.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the verse that Jesus had said before he leaves, before he rises up into the heavens, that if he tells us when the end times are truly going to come, then we won't worry. We'll just prepare when a time's ready, when we need to.
Exactly. But the one verse that I kind of think that stood me up about that topic was when he says that day is going to come upon you like a trap. He said no one's going to see it coming. And when I heard that, you know what it made me think of? It's going to be a Friday night. It's going to be a Friday night when all the cross-wearing Christians are going to be heading to the bar.
Yep.
And I think that's when he's going to come back and everybody's going to be like, oh, it's just a Friday.
It'll be a Friday night, full moon, like the most debauchery you could think of. It's going to be, I truly think it's going to be a spectacle. And a lot of people have theories on what the rapture is going to be like, or if there's going to be a rapture or what's going to happen. I think it'd be so interesting if it plays out truly where just like millions of people just disappear around the world. you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just looking around like, where did that pile of clothes come from? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
where are they going that I'm not?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and think about all the people who think they're saved that aren't. Mm. You know what I mean? I feel bad for those people, but they've done something in their walk, if that makes sense, that they were never truly there, if that makes sense. The lukewarm, yeah. I guess.
I feel like the one with the people like that in the Bible, it talks about like beware of false prophets.
Yeah.
And it talks about how the false prophet himself isn't the bad, but the bad is the followers of the false prophet. And he says that that's because that's what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that are know, the lukewarms, it's because they're building their own Bible. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're building their own Jesus, and they're building their own walk of what they think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can... Well, and like I said, we do have a jealous God. He doesn't want you to worship anything over him, or to not have any other gods. So by that saying that, you know, if you value your phone over reading scripture,
yep,
you're valuing your phone over God. That's what he's saying.
Absolutely.
So
this is something, I mean, this is all of us.
Oh, 100%.
I mean? And that's when, you know, Jesus is sitting at the table with all of his disciples, and he's like, one of you are going to betray me. And, you know, when Judas comes back and he's got all of them with him to capture Jesus, you know, I'm reading that book and I'm like, Jesus, what? Like, Judas, bro. Why, Jesus, why didn't you kill Judas, for one?
Yeah,
like, Judas, you're a terrible guy. I hope something happens to you. But then looking at it, we are Judas.
Oh,
we are the betrayer. And he still loved Judas and still saved Judas. And because I just think about all the times when I'm like, I know I need to pick up my Bible right now, but dang it, this TikTok is good. And I just can't get off of it. But it's that 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, drop it, drop the phone. And if there's one thing that you learn, I want y'all to start 3, 2, 1 in it, right? 3, 2, 1 every single day. And this is something that has changed my whole entire life. So I started taking cold showers, and that is definitely something that is not fun, right? You wake up in the morning, you do not want to take a cold shower.
No.
But if you can 3, 2, 1 your mind, you know, count down, step in, it's over, and you're already there, and now you're doing it. Start doing the same thing with your Bible, you know, when you're like, dang, I really don't want to do it. 3, 2, 1, drop the phone on the ground, pick up the Bible, pray, you know, and then really set the posture of your heart. Because one thing I've noticed is if I drop my phone and pick up straight into my Bible, I never fix the posture of my heart off of TikTok. So I take that TikTok postured heart into the reading of the Bible. And it's like, I'm trying to find this little bit of stimulation for my mind in the Bible, but that's not even the whole reason I'm there. So by praying, it's like you're turning your heart upward and you're focusing it on him. It's like, all right, God, I'm not looking for mental stimulation. I'm looking for mental revelation, and show it to me, you know? And by doing that, you know, if you call on him, he's going to answer you, you know?
Oh, exactly.
And he's going to highlight them words in that Bible. Like, it's,
oh, dude, there's nothing better than when you've gone through something in a certain week, or, you know, you're going through something, or something happened to you this week, or something in that day, and you sit down and you read the Bible and you read a verse that just jumps out at you. And you're like, oh, that applies right now.
Right now.
It's almost like God himself is like, hey, turn that page.
Yep.
He's like, look at this.
Keep going.
Exactly. And it's through those things that we can turn to the Lord and go, you know what? You're right. You got this. And yeah, I'm just being dumb. And this person didn't really aggravate me. Or I really shouldn't be focused on what people are posting on social media, because their life isn't better than mine.
Yeah, absolutely. I will show you this. I haven't even showed Philip this yet, but I'm going to show my screensaver. Actually, my phone's dead. But it's the famous painting of Jesus up on the mountain in the wilderness. When the devil's pointing down over the city, promising him all these things. And Jesus was actually fasting in this moment because he knew that the temptations were going to come, and he said, nah. And in the painting, the devil was pointing down over the city and promising all these things to Jesus. And you know what Jesus is doing? He's looking straight up. He's just looking off into the distance. That man is so focused on God. He knows no matter what looks good in this moment, he knows the truth.
Oh, and yeah.
Would that be on my home screen? It's like every single time I pick my phone up, I look at that. And it's like Jesus is like looking at me. He's like, what are you going to do? And it's pretty intense. It's like an intense like moment almost every time I pick my phone up. And it's definitely made me think about it a lot. You know what I mean? I'll pick my phone up and I'll be, you know, that's just crazy, man.
Well, you can think about it like the devil tempts us in different ways. Like the devil isn't, you know, sitting, you know, having us up on top of a mountain saying, you can rule over all of this. This can all be yours. But he may like put a beer in our hand and say, you know, if you just drink this right now, you'll have a better time with these people.
Absolutely.
Or if you just smoke this right now, this food will taste better.
Oh, for sure.
100%. But it happens. And by turning away and going, you know what, I'll be better off by not doing it. I'll be better off by turning away from this thing or putting that, you know, back on the shelf or not smoking this today. And actually something you had brought up earlier, you were talking about how you'll feel better by reading the scripture. Think of it as like going to the gym. You know that if you go to the gym, you'll feel better, regardless of the fact that you don't want to go. Nobody ever wants to go to the gym and get sweaty and be sore the next day. And reading the scripture is just like that. Not to say that I hate reading scripture. I actually enjoy reading the scripture now more than ever. I've almost become addicted to it at times. But at the end of the day, I am better off by reading that verse or right reading that chapter or taking that 15 minutes out and just going through and praying and talking to the Lord. Those things will do nothing but make you better, similar to going to the gym and pumping iron.
Yeah. But so Philip, he actually had got to the shop early to do the podcast, and he calls me and he's like, "Hey man, when are you going to be at the shop?" And I was thinking he was going to be here in like, you know, another 45 minutes or something. I was on the way to the gym and I was like, oh, I was like, thank God. I was like, I really did not want to go to the gym. And so I was like, man. And so I get here and we're sitting down and we're like getting ready. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have any of my notes. I forgot we're about to talk for an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, we prayed right before. We said, God, crack our skulls, speak through us. And we're loving the way he's working on us.
Oh, yeah. I think so far we've had great discussion so far. I think this has gone way further than even I thought. So a little backstory. Both me and Nick have just been down and out. Like, and Nick has been battling COVID for the last week. And then I've just had a really just crappy day in terms of energy. And something about just sitting down and starting this, it's like the Lord just put the energy right in me. Like, there's no better energy drink than the Lord being like, hey, thank you.
Snaps you straight up. And I just think about like today. So I don't know. I feel like I've sat on my phone for like more than I should have today. Business was kind of slow. And then even during my one appointment today, I was getting so frustrated, like just getting so frustrated, man. And I was sitting there and I'm like, what is this? Like, I can feel it in my forehead. What is this coming from? This isn't. And one thing about me is I'm not an angry person at all. Never have been. Never been in a fight in my life, not a confrontational person. And I mean, just like steaming energy. Like I just wanted to throw my squeegee through a concrete wall. And I was thinking about it and I'm like, what did I do when I woke up this morning? I grabbed my phone and checked my socials. What did I do right before I left for work? I definitely didn't pick up my Bible. No. I thought I tried to relieve my stress in a different way. And then I just was thinking about it all the way up until that point. And I'm like, you know what? It was destined. I was destined to be in this point. And so that's when I just prayed it away. I said, Jesus, please take this anger from me. I want to come back to you. And after that, it was like, okay, now go pick up my word and lean into me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ah. And I found everything else to do other than that. And then I ended up right back in that same spot. I wasn't angry, but I was kind of just felt like bored, but also exhausted to where I didn't want to do anything, which is like just almost a depressing place to be.
Yeah.
And then that's what I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym. Maybe the gym will make me feel better. Didn't even want to go. And then Philip called me and then now we're here. We're talking about Jesus. And it's like, looking back at it, it's like, dude, all I had to do the whole time was just lean into him. That's all it was. As soon as I lean into him, it's just like he just takes that burden right off your shoulders. And now I don't even remember what I was mad about. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's kind of crazy how that can happen. Like you said, you don't even know what you're mad about.
Yep.
Like I can be angry about something, I can be sad about something. And if I just turn to the Lord and be like, I don't want this, Lord.
Man.
And you can take this from me. And he will. He'll take it.
He takes it right there.
And guess what? 30 minutes from then, I'll be like, what was I so mad about? Or maybe you do remember what upset you. You're like, that was stupid.
That was so stupid.
Like, I had somebody cut me off on the— this is actually a great story. I had somebody cut me off on the interstate. Just kind of literally, like, almost clipped my bumper. And I get very bad road rage. They came, like, within inches of my bumper. And I've already been in an accident. And, like, this aggravates me more than anything. So I'm like, what does this do? I'm, like, honking at him, like, flicking him off. I'm like, why am I so mad? Like, I could literally just hit my brakes, back off, and then let him get in an accident or do whatever he's going to do. I'm like, I can just be myself and be happy. I can turn my music on. You know, I can listen to scripture if I wanted to. But at the end of the day, the Lord can take it away from me, and he can say, don't be mad. There's no reason to be.
Yep.
Ever.
When I feel like I'm filled with anger, it makes me think of my diet. Well, what have I been consuming recently? What have I been listening to recently that is starting to put this seed of anger into me? And there's always a source. When you have these feelings that aren't from God, there was somewhere that you let the enemy in. And whether it was me in my truck listening to rap music that I shouldn't have been listening to, which I don't know if you guys understand this, but music, ever since the beginning of time, has been worship. So what your music is saying, and in those beats, there's normally something behind that beat that makes you feel that way and makes you, like, it's enticing. You know what I mean? Yeah. A beat will draw somebody in more than pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we need to be very careful of what we're listening to. And when you're listening to music, really listen to those lyrics, you know, and the thing is it's planting seeds inside of you. So I have this issue where I used to, like, you know, listening to hard bass drill rap, you know, just angry music. And I was not an angry person, and I just liked it.
Oh, yeah.
And it never really had— I mean, I'm not going to say it didn't have an impact, but I felt like it mentally didn't. And now when I listen to it, it really will make me, like—
oh, there's sometimes angry. I listen to music, I'm like, this isn't really what I should be listening to. Like, this is today. Like, there was stuff I was listening to today. I'm like, I really shouldn't be listening to this. This is not good music.
Yeah. But then on the opposite side, there is good music. You know what I mean? And there is good content to be consuming that is going to add and invest into your Christ account. You know what I'm saying? So, like, by listening to us for an hour, okay, yeah, we're not, you know, master's degrees and in the Bible, but we're just two dudes talking about our story and how, you know, what helps us. So, like, me specifically, there's just one song, and it's called Nobody. And that's just one song that I always put on when I'm feeling far away or when I'm feeling down. It's a song, and it says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about this person that saved my soul. And it's, you know, every time I hear that song, that overflowing joy feeling hits me. And I'm like, I feel like there's, like, beams of light coming out of my eyes and my mouth and my nose. I'm just like, brother, what is going on? And it's literally because that's what you're consuming. And you don't feel it when you're consuming the bad. You don't feel it on the front end because you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't make a deal with the devil if you showed up as the devil. But if you're consuming God, and you're consuming— it's like you instantly feel it. I don't know, maybe—
oh, I get it.
That's with me.
For one song I absolutely love to listen to every so often is just the song I Can Only Imagine.
Oh my gosh, I listened to it yesterday.
Dude,
yes.
Oh, I was like,
it makes me cry.
It came up on my queue on the way here, and I'm like, oh, I love this song so much. And the first time I ever listened to it, it made me cry. Because I'm like, I can only imagine.
Yes.
Like, seriously, what's going to happen? Am I going to drop down on my knees and be like, oh my Lord. Oh my God.
Am I going to be able to speak? Am I not going to be able to speak?
Oh, am I going to have questions? And I'll be honest with you. The more I think about it, the more I think when I go to heaven, things will just make sense.
Yep.
I don't think I'll have any questions. I think it'll just got to be like, here's the knowledge you needed.
Yep. Absolutely. And somebody earlier this week had asked me, talks in the Bible about how marriage is something that happens on earth. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to be married.
I think that's wrong.
And I think that sounds like, for us, it sounds hard to comprehend that, but it makes us understand that marriage was a gift. given to us to have companionship while we're here. And that's why we find someone with Christ. So we go up there together, but when we get up there, it's going to be like, you know, we're going to be the bride going to the bride's groom. We're going to be fully in love with God. So this little, I feel like everybody has a different like love meter of how much we love God. No matter how much, like no matter where you are on that meter, when you get to heaven, that meter is going to shatter at the top and it's going to shoot all the way through. We're going to be so obsessed and in glory. That's what it is. That's what glory is. It's like beauty to, you can't even put it into expressions or words. And that's just what we're going to be. We're going to be in such glory of being in the presence of our God and so grateful that we're there and able to be there, knowing that we're not worthy of it. But by him and by his sacrifice, he guaranteed that we are worthy, you know. And I think that's like the whole beauty of it. And it's something that's hard for us to understand now. How there's probably, you know, there's not going to be a drift track up in heaven. You know what I mean? We're not actually, the things that satisfy us now, we're going to have a complete, the heart we have now is going to be even more changed into him. You know what I mean? It's literally going to be his heart inside of us.
Well, I think like a lot of people like to think of heaven as, you know, streets lined with gold, with mansions in the sky. I'm like, why would we need a mansion?
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking.
We're not going to need sleep. We're not going to need food. Yep. We don't even need streets to walk on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, if anything, I picture, like, if you want to picture God or heaven as anything, picture it like the Garden of Eden. That's what I like to picture it, full of grass and living things and creatures and nothing but what God has truly created. Everything.
Minecraft and creative kinda, mode where it's going to be like flying around.
Yeah. But I think we're going to have tasks that God wants us to do. I think after we go to heaven, we're going to be those people in the good in everybody's ear, like, don't do this. Turn away and do this thing. We're going to be turning pages for people to be like, hey, this is going to speak to you today.
Yeah. And you know, the satisfaction that like we get now when we do a good deed, I feel like when we get to heaven, it's going to be like that same satisfaction, like
all the time.
You know what I mean? Okay, this is a terrible, terrible reference, but it makes sense to people that it makes sense to. So like a vape, you hit a vape and you get a nicotine buzz, like boom, gone. There the next time you hit it. Like a pouch, you take a Zen, it's just like boom, 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 boom. That's a terrible reference, but I think that when we get to heaven, it's just going to be like, we're just going to be feeling that ultimate joy, satisfaction to where it's just like,
oh yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like just,
we'll never, it'll be nothing but ups the whole time. But we have to go through our trials and tribulations here on earth. That's exactly
what
it is.
And that's the beauty in it. You know, that's exactly what we talked about last week. How are we going to enjoy perfectness if we never endured the struggle?
Exactly. Well, and I guess the best way to put it is, how can you, if you were given everything right out the gate, right? Like if you were given money, cars, you know, whatever you wanted out the gate, would you appreciate it? You know? So if you didn't have those little struggles to go through, if you didn't have those little temptations or times where you've really taken a step back and truly just analyze and be like, you know, my life isn't where I want it to be at. If you didn't go through that, then what's the point of salvation? If that makes sense. Not to say you shouldn't get salvation, but or you shouldn't be saved. But if you didn't go through those things, if you didn't have those struggles, if you didn't have those demons in your closet, then there would be no reason for salvation. But God is there for us because of the things that we have done and because of the sins that we have. And he has washed those things away with his blood.
I ask you, if you knew that every decision had a consequence, would you make the right one?
Yeah.
Would you know?
If you knew the consequence to every single action, what, you know what I'm saying? Which one would you go with? You go with the better one.
Right.
Every single time.
So just look into it, you know, moment by moment, you know, however tomorrow and the end of this day that you're watching this, see what's happening in your life. And one thing is, if you don't know which is the right decision, look at the fruits. What is this producing? What is, you know, say like with the Pope being the, you know, the highest level religious person in the world, what is his fruits? What does he actually produce that's good? And, you know, you can instantly tell there's not very much, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But then you can look at, you know, just regular guys like me and Philip. It's like, okay, well, these guys are also claiming that they know God. What are their fruits? Okay, well, they want to talk about it a lot.
Yep.
You know? Okay, well, they're changing, so there's something.
Yeah.
Something's happening. Okay, well, they seem like they're, you know, you actually see the fruits.
I mean, and kind of like through, like, works don't have to be giving the homeless guy a couple bucks to go get something to eat tonight. Works can be something as simple as talking to God to help this person, to say, hey, every morning I have a prayer I say for people that I want to save. I mean, people who I truly worry about in my life that I'm like, Lord, please help me. Please help me help them. Help me guide them to a better life and to understand your word and how they can be saved through you and how their sins completely be washed away through change and through prayer and through seeing Jesus as the light and guidance. So, and you have to have the fruits to do it. And I hope that this podcast can reach somebody today and or in the future and reach hundreds of millions of people. I think it'd be truly glorious.
Yeah. We our prayer for us, or our prayer for you guys, is that you would just know the voice of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that the sheep know his voice. And we ask that you guys would pray to be able to hear his voice. And by getting closer to him and by making, you know, stepping away from our old ways, when you step away from what you want to do and what you've always done, you're stepping towards God. The closer you get towards God, the louder his voice is going to get. And one thing you'll notice is his voice starts getting a little bit louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. So we encourage you guys, keep diving in, keep growing in the word, keep growing in your knowledge of who he is. That voice will get louder. And the louder that voice gets, the easier it's going to become to walk with him. It's going to be to see the path back to Eden, pretty much.
I think this is a good place to leave it off. We thank every single one of you that have made it this far. You're truly a blessing to us. That for those of you that have listened, and we hope to continue to spread the word for you. Thank you, and see you next week.